Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I'm deep, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 300. I said 300 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, and Mr. Damn Skippy in the building. Obviously, we went on a road trip if y'all weren't staying connected. And obviously, the Eagles got a big dub. And if you look at the timeline, people on the timeline are not even enjoying it. I think this podcast, we're going to sit here and enjoy the W. We're gonna thoroughly talk about the win, but at the end of the day, the Eagles went into a hostile environment. Yes, I said hostile because there was one point I couldn't hear anything because my ears were ringing. A loud stadium, a beautiful stadium. It was a great overall experience being in Detroit. The city, the vibes, very hospitable. Lion fans, very loyal. We spoke to one Lions fan who said, I've been to 45 home games, and I've seen 7 wins. After last week, that is now 46 games, and he's seen 7 wins. So talk about loyal Lions fans. But overall, I think the Eagles got a dub. And people have been poo-pooing the idea of saying a dub is a dub in the NFL. But at the end of the day, a dub is a dub. You want to come out there with a win. Maybe it got ugly in the end, but you came out there with the win. So we are 1-0. The fun is excited. They're coming home. They're going to build off of what happened last week. And I feel like I'm ready for more excitement. What say you?
Man, that was, like you said, an awesome experience. First of all, we can get to what our experience in Detroit was in a little bit. But let's focus on the matter at hand. The Birds are 1-0. And if you look at that game, the offense dominated. I saw an Eagles offense that is going to be a force to be reckoned with this year. They can have their way with teams. They can beat you with multiple different players. And the identity of this team that I see is a run-heavy team that has the ability with A.J. Brown. It's a very well-rounded offense. The only thing that is of concern, Hollis has been saying it all preseason, and now, you know what? I was that guy that was, we've got to give Jonathan Gannon a chance in this new regime. We had he's got a whole new set of tools, but in reality, he's not using well, man. And that was a very telling sign in the first game. I understand why people are upset, but let's relish in the win, man. Eagles are 1-0. There's hardly any tape out on anybody right now, so you got to just take what you get. You play who you play, and we won.
Yeah. Well, appreciate everybody tuning in, but definitely want to start off by congratulating you two for the milestone 300. You know what I mean? You guys from day one, here you're 300 episodes in. I know I've been around for a while now, but You guys have the whole complete 300, so congratulations to you two for making that accomplishment.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
With that being said, yeah, I mean, a W is a W, but it was a sloppy. It wasn't like that real big satisfying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy we pulled it off. I mean, I was sitting in between Gail and Evan the whole time. You know, I had some sweaty moments. Like, you know, we had a good lead. And yeah. Then, you know, you know me. I mean, for people that don't know me by now, I like to run my mouth. And I was running my mouth on a very comfortable lead. But then that lead just kept on getting slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And I'm looking at Gail to the right and looking at Evan to the left. And I'm like, oh, shit, here we go again. Yeah, man, Jonathan Gannon, you know, he really needs to get his shit together. There's no other way to go ahead and pinpoint the situation. I mean, we had a great scheme going on. Defense was holding it down for a while. You know, that line was doing its thing. We ended up just getting one sack out of the game, a half by Fletcher Cox and a half by Brandon Guerin, combining for that one sack. Bradbury with the big interception return. We had some good defensive plays. Epps was really playing his ass off. I was very happy to see that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had a great tackle. He had a good tackle in the very beginning of the game that, you know, pretty much got most of the Eagles fan base hyped up in that stadium. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, it's week one. You know, I know we have to go ahead and get the rust off, and we showed that. You know, I'm not taking anything away from Detroit. They have a very good young team. you know, dealing with the fan base over there, it was just like, hey, you know, we're going to see how it's going to come out. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like Gail said, we ended up pulling out the W. So I'm satisfied with that, happy because of the fact that we had a 9-hour ride and we had to make sure that, you know, we had to enjoy it on the way back. So it is what it is.
Now, I am happy with the W, but due to the nature of my business, killing is my business and business is good. I looked up in one of my old notebooks to see what a good defense is looking to be great with does in a game, especially a game of this magnitude, which is a catch 22 game. Normally you give up 17 points or less, you give up only 275 yards of total offense, no runs over 10 plus yards and no passes over 25 plus yards. You need 3 sacks, 7 quarterback hits.
And you just got sacked.
Yeah. You all right over there, man?
He had Jordan Davis coming across the table right there. I'm just glad he was wearing pants, honestly.
Yeah, that could be better. I think Hollis is going to mention something about Vic Fangio, maybe Jonathan Gannon, perhaps. Yeah, you think?
Yeah, he was definitely geared up to go ahead and talk about all that stuff. Yeah, but we're going to go ahead and give him time to go ahead and get himself together, man. But yeah, I mean, like, hey, listen, that place was rocking. That place was very loud. Gail, I think you had mentioned a few times during the game that it was one of the loudest stadiums we've ever been together as a group.
Bro, like I was feeling the numbness between the ears at one point.
But you also saw the effects of it. Like, we looked at each other a few times and we said, you know, look at Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith was out there and there was a few plays where he was just looking back at Jalen Hurts confused about what the wrong play they were even running. And I think a lot of
I'm back. My He's bad.
Back, bitch.
Now, I don't know where I was, but
your notebook, man. Your notebook had to be less than 17 points.
Yeah, 17 points. And we had one turnover, we didn't have two. Now here's what we get, what we did give up. We gave up was 300 and 380 some yards. Actually 96 yards. We only got one turnover. We did have three straight three and outs, which is equivalent to a turnover. So we did get two turnovers. We gave up too many long drives, and they had 66 offensive plays, man, and 396 yards. Mm. And this is Detroit, and we didn't even look like we knew how to blitz. We looked gassed. And I just saw somebody was talking about the tackling. I was like, but when I look at the way the game is after my third time looking at it, it's like he put our big dogs in too much of a situation to where they was going to be tired at the end of the game. Y'all was there at the game. Did they look gassed to you, the big dogs up front?
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, you know what I mean, I went back and I saw some of the highlights. the one person that I really saw was getting his ass handed all over that field was Hassan Reddick, man. It was very surprising seeing him get put on his behind quite a few times, man. I mean, he definitely looked like he was one that was gassed out. You know,
but
I
didn't but we look at the way they was using him. They just had him running up field, hell bent for leather.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just wasn't expecting him to be in there as much as he was. Right.
Well, no, but if they want to use him like that on the edge of the line, you run an under over defense. You still have your four linemen there, but you have him playing on the line. A lot of the plays that I was telling you, we got hit with a couple of trap plays. And if you think this is not a copycat league, if you think Minnesota is not putting that shit in right now, you're out of your fucking mind. We got trapped like all day long, like he had never been playing football before. No guys got their hands up. Jared Goff is 6 feet tall. You ain't telling me none of those passes across the middle could not have been knocked down. I don't think they coached our defensive players that greatly. So to me, it's like coaching. And the one touchdown pass that Slay gave up. Hey, how about a gentle ball call from the defensive line, who's really not doing shit anyway, because we didn't really get any pressure. We didn't really get any pressure on the guy, dude. I was pissed off watching that crap. I sat there and watched that crap 3 times. It had nothing innovative about it, nothing even creative about it. We blitzed 2 times, and the third time we blitzed, we looked like shit. It was like two guys kind of ran into the running back, and we created a little bit of pressure on them. Now, I will say everybody knows, but when you send a blitz, the first guy that comes in, he's supposed to come underneath the running back who's trying to block him, so the other guy can come right off the edge of him. Right off the edge of him on the outside shoulder of the quarterback. Dude, but both our guys ran right into each other, so one running blocked two people.
Racist.
I was just getting pissed the whole time watching it, because it just seemed like they are not coaching these guys on how to blitz. And I don't know if it's because he's young or because he's stupid or because he's both.
Do you think the one thing that stood out to me, it was when Jordan Davis was out there, he was effective. And that's why I we were getting gashed in the run game. And when you throw Jordan Davis in there, he's clogging up holes. So the fact that Jonathan Gannon is pulling him off the field, like, we moved up in the first round to go get him. He's the newest, shiniest of our toys. And he's supposed to be the guy that's clogging up the middle. I don't know why we weren't seeing more 3-4 looks.
Well, I mean, if you think about Milton.
I saw Milton get his ass whoop like cornbread batter.
I'm trying to think of it. I'm trying to say his name.
You talking Marlon, about Tua Tagovailoa?
It's late at night, right now. So he outsnapped Jordan Davis. So obviously, you know, your shiny toy that you drafted high enough.
Yeah,
you think you'd get more snap.
Yeah,
but we did. But we went out and spent a lot of money on defense, and to give up 35 points in the first fucking week. Are you out your mind?
Yeah.
And from Detroit. And I'm listening to the commentators. They talk acting like Detroit has a great offensive line. I saw 3 pitches alone. Are you kidding me, man? We can't overreact, because we still. I'm glad the fact we get the W, and it should be like that. But I will be embarrassed defensively to give up that type of day, especially to Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. If you saw when we affected him, he threw us the ball, and you gonna go away from that? What the hell kind of defense coordinator are you? Do you have the technical fortitude to play this game?
I mean, when you had mentioned the fact that we went 3 and out 3 straight times, you know, I thought we had shit on lock, man. I thought we were finally in sync, and then again, it's just like we just got away from it. I mean, you said it yourself. If we go in there with that same defensive scheme against Minnesota, it's going to be a long night, man. It's going to be a very long night,
scheme aside, we talk about you know, the coaching aspect of fundamentals and, you know, tackling and such. I know we didn't have much of preseason, but if you look at the, you know, the run by Swift, I saw Epps fell down, tripped on air. You know, Chauncey got hemmed up. Kaiser missed a tackle.
Yep.
Numerous tackles were missed.
But on that same play, Gil, guess did you see what happened to the D tackle? He ran up. He ran in the back. When you don't get blocked, you don't just run your ass up. Yep. He ran in the back, got blew up by number 88. Yeah.
Cox ran up.
It was 97. It was Malik. But then Cox did get driven off the ball. They threw him out the club because he had on white tees and Air Force Ones. But yeah, if you look at the runs, they was double teaming us, just knocking the crap out of us. It was just like it seemed like they out physical us. I feel like we had a well whooped ass up front.
Yeah.
I do want to give a shout out to Jimmy. Jimmy was actually sitting right behind us at the game.
Yeah.
A lot of high fives were sent his way. But I want to give a shout out to Lester, who we met in Home Depot parking lot, who ended up you talk about
we ended up being his worst nightmare.
Brotherly love. He welcomed us to his tailgate.
He definitely welcomed us to his tailgate, and then he definitely was quick to kick us out of the tailgate.
But what he said in that Home Depot parking lot kind of rang true. Talked about Swift, talked about the Detroit Lions front beating offensive line, beating up our front line, and that's exactly what happened. So hat tip to him, you know.
No, hat tip to the entire fan base, man. I mean, like you said, you got a guy that's out there. He's gone to 46 games and seen 7 wins. That is a loyal-ass fan base out there. And when you're in the stadium, like, first of all, getting into the stadium is a complete disorganized mess. Let's get that across there. They need to set up some cones or some rope it off or something, because they just have everybody funneling in the doors, and there's no organization whatsoever. We left 45 minutes prior to kickoff and still missed kickoff.
That's y'all long for, because y'all was probably hobnobbing with the enemy. Man, forget them suckers. I don't hobnob with the enemy. I was looking at some of the scantily clad skanks that they had down there who still thought they had it. I saw a bunch of misplaced spandex. I saw somebody who thought she had on leather. And I thought, and the misuse, the very bad misuse of weave. Jesus, they is trash pile. Right, but that's a whole other story. I'm just saying. I don't care how inviting their fan base was. Forget them. We was there to kick their ass.
Hey, we're trying to be nice. Trying to make some friends.
You don't have to be nice. When you kick somebody's ass, you don't have to be nice. It's like it was cool to break bread with them a little bit and kick with them. But damn them. I was there to watch the birds. Watch the birds beat up a lion.
Hey, Hollis is the type of guy that never meets a new friend in the Home Depot parking lot.
That's creepy. That's why I stay alive.
Friends on the road. We shout out to Jason as well, man.
Cool.
From Minnesota.
I see you guys are some friendly motherfuckers.
We try to take care of the people, man.
You didn't see my friend from the pizza joint? Hey, I make friends at every food joint I go to.
Let's be real. That was Detroit style pizza is a sham. First of all, it's all about what we had at Checkers. That was delicious pizza.
I didn't want no Detroit style pizza.
That Checkers, that's like a traditional like New York style pizza. We ended up going to Buddy's the following day, and it's like a square Sicilian type pie. It's too cheesy, man. These people up next to Wisconsin, they put on buckets of cheese. It's too much. It's too much. Checker had where it was at.
I told you it was a Lynch pizza. That place has been there since 1954. Mm. Boom. Mm-hmm.
And the arcade up top. That was
Yeah, did you guys get to go to arcade up top later on?
We did.
Prime getting his ass whooped in Street Fighter.
You got your ass whooped on Fighter less more than me, man.
I made it to the second round.
You made it to the second round. Okay. Wow, whippy.
I got to the second level. But speaking of second level, a guy who was getting to the second level, AJ Brown, dude. AJ Brown is everything that we hoped and expected. A guy who talk about real three-level threat, short, intermediate, deep. This dude was, I think the dude that he was dragging is still being dragged to this day. I was like, DBs look like little kids trying to tackle AJ Brown. It's serious.
Yeah, you know what my favorite thing that he did was when he caught one of the slant routes across the middle, and he just started putting the ball in one hand and pushed people in the head. Get your ass out of my way. Get on out the way. And we haven't had a receiver that comes out there with that type of violence and that type of physical nature in quite some time since T.O.
Well,
T.O. just ran by people. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I said to Prime and Gale when we were sitting out in the stands. When he caught that deep ball, he just sunned him, man. He just tossed him off him like he was a little boy, and it was awesome to see. AJ Brown is as advertised. And on a further note, like I've had criticism of Jalen Hurts, and they obviously it's still a work in progress. But for what I have to say is Jalen Hurts, the way he plays this game. He is a perfect fit for this offense.
I tell you, Evan?
You didn't let me get to the butt.
You're already at the butt. You already gave my man a backhand compliment.
I
distinctly told your ass that he does what it takes to win, and that's what quarterbacks do. Yeah, real quarterbacks do what it takes to win. They don't give a damn of what you Yahoo's talking about. Oh, he's not a traditional passer. Oh, he has no accuracy. He was accurate yesterday on Sunday, motherfucker.
He was accurate enough, but he was also.
There you go. Don't even talk about Jalen Hurts. Don't say none of that. Just leave his name out
your mouth. I'm gonna talk about Jalen Hurts, and
There's no need to. Until you come to the door.
So what I have to say about Jalen Hurts is that the way that he is able to, like, he moves at will down the field. He's able to, if his first option isn't there, he's able to move it down the field with his legs. And that is what I love. You know, Jalen Hurts, like you said, Hollis, he does what it takes to win. He does what it takes to get the first down. He does what it takes to score. I think this offense can really have their way with whoever.
Who the last quarterback in Detroit was?
The what?
The last quarterback to lose in Detroit.
From the Eagles?
Yeah.
Carson Wentz?
Exactly. So, when you talk about Jalen Hurts, put some respect on his name, sucker.
I have respect for Jalen Hurts.
No, you don't.
I can have respect for Jalen Hurts and still think that there's things to improve on. You right now are talking like Jalen Hurts is a perfect product, which he's not.
I didn't say he was a perfect product.
Well, you're not allowing criticism.
You're still talking about improvements like you can do just as good. Just relish, in the victories and quit being a sucker.
Nah.
relish in the victories.
The most wild thing to me is when you look on the timeline. I've never seen as intently every single throw of this dude's
criticized.
I'm not gonna say Evan. I'm just saying on the timeline.
Evan was out there with a velocirometer. and a yardstick trying to tell me, so look, see, no velocity, no BO. No.
I was very happy with Jalen's game. All I said was there's stuff to be improved, man, which there is. If you're telling me that he's not a perfect product, then you're telling me that there's stuff to be improved on, which is exactly what I'm saying.
From the naysayers. just get in the back of the line and leave your comments in the suggestion box.
Now, so I mean, just talking about Jalen Hurts' performance, we talk about there's different arguments on every single side that you see on the timeline these days, but like there's moments in the game where with his legs, he saved the offense. He moved the chains when it was either get sacked or make a play, get outside the pocket. I know that I've seen him move on a couple plays where he had a pocket where he could throw from, but in general, I think whether it's getting the last fourth and one to win the game, to be relied on to make some plays, relied on to make some throws, that throw to A.J. Brown was
money.
As pure money as you can get. So him throwing in the middle of the field where Eagle fans have noted in the past, you have a dog in the middle now. You have A.J. Brown. You officially saw the difference of having a dog in the middle of the field. And his presence is there. So I'm not going to knock him for, you know, because people keep like the thing about AJ. I mean, the thing about Jalen is we knew he put up what 1300 yards rushing coming out of Oklahoma. That's part of his. It's part of his game.
Yeah.
Like the man can run. But, you know, him getting to the next level as a passer. I saw some progression this week. And it's just a matter of Eagle fans want this to be night and day, and they have no patience for it. Which, you know,
I don't give a damn. They're all gonna be eating crow and gonna be on the back of the damn bus, Evan.
I mean, but I mean, like, to Hollis, you got to understand. I mean, I definitely know where you're coming from, and I agree with both of y'all. Because, I mean, like, he had a great game, but then Evan is right. There's just some things he definitely has to go ahead and
fix. Where's the whistle? Blow the whistle.
That's all right. Blow the whistle. You know what I mean?
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. It's like you keep criticizing this kid who's in his third full NFL season. Let him roll. He knows he has the improvement. Every time he does something. You didn't see the same criticism with Carson. You didn't see the same criticism with some of the bums that they had up in here. You didn't hear none of this. None of this.
I mean, we were calling for Carson to get the
interception leader? Is that what we pissed about? Because he unseated the interception in NFL interception leader? I'm just saying, I'm asking for a friend. Because he's done nothing but come here and actually try to win. I mean, and everybody's just get their full. Oh, he's not doing this right. What, you ever think he's working on that?
Do you want me to come out and lie and say that I think that?
No, but next time, before you come out, next time listen to his interview and listen to what he says.
But I agree with Moore here. He had a great game. That's coming out of my mouth. He ran too much. That's also coming out of my mouth. That's one of the things I'm just worried about. At the end of the day, yeah, you're right. I'm not the one on the field. I can't play the game better than him. But I'm just worried about him because, yo, he not only playing for himself.
This is not Tinley Wink. I get sick and tired of people talking about scared. If you're scared, call the police. This is football, dude. This ain't baseball or basketball.
I'm not trying to see my quarterback get put down.
You ain't trying to see him what? You ain't trying to see him what?
There's nothing wrong with me saying I'm scared to see the man get hurt.
Hold on. The highest paid clown, the highest paid person on the team can't take a hit. The kid, if you watch the way he plays,
he doesn't take that many hits. He should be able to take a hit. Me, I'm just saying as a fan, looking in the stands, I want to make sure that my man survives a full season.
All right, did he survive last season?
Any other quarterback, Hurts is Hurts. Don't get me wrong.
Did he survive last season?
At the end of the day, I'm gonna finish it off by saying, "Yo, Hurts had a great game. Hats off to the game he fucking played."
Helmet to helmets Hurts received during that game?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that a sustainable thing? Getting hit in the helmet
I'll let you know that all those guys receive fines, be getting some on Wednesday.
That's fine. Those people get fines if you're concussed. Was he concussed? No, but look at Dak Prescott. Are you the mom in the stands?
Are you the mom in the stands?
I am. I'm Mr. Medicals.
Sure you are. That's his middle name. That's his middle name. No, because
all that stuff about, I'm not worried about that. That's the way the kid plays. When you start playing with caution, that's when you get hurt. You be standing around piles trying. I'm gonna get hurt. The hell you think this is? This ain't Tiddlywinks. The hell you think they're gonna give him a grease down on the shiatsu? The hell, come on, dude. You have to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. If you do not play it that way, you will get hurt. The way the kid plays, I don't really see him getting hurt. He stays out of the way, out of harm's way. When you have to use your legs, you put the other team on notice that they have to account for you. Don't just turn your back on me because I will run too. That's what he does.
That's exactly what he did.
He ran just enough because you know what Detroit Lions did? They came out and they kicked our ass starting off, and they was blitzing us, and they was man to man over the top of us. Now, when you do that as a quarterback, I don't give a damn what quarterback you are. You pull it down and run because there's nowhere to throw the ball. That's all they were doing to us at first. They were sending everybody else and running man under. And when you run man under, everybody's back is turned, so you pull it down and run. He took what they gave him. That's what good quarterbacks do. They take what you give them. And when it was time to pass and he got them on their heels, that's what he did. But everybody, he ran too much. He ran just enough.
I think the conversation on the timeline has been about some of his running and his ability to slide. He gets down, but he will take shots. I think his exterior isn't like the normal quarterback's exterior. I mean, he is built pretty thick, like a running back.
But 600 pounds. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's built. He's got the exterior, and I think he's built for that. But I think if you look at the Giants game last season, I remember him, you know, a couple QB counters, and at one point, that's where he got injured. So I mean, it's just part of the game. It's part of the game, and obviously, people are still excited.
You know how you decrease all those soft tissue injuries that everybody's bitching about on level. You actually practice playing football. That's why you're going to see a lot of soft tissue injuries because cats didn't play in preseason and cats haven't been hit yet. But it's like you have to get your body used to being hit and used to a real NFL game, which is why we were gassed yesterday. And they were kicking our ass because if you watched them on Hard Knocks, they were practicing like a son of a buck, weren't they? Were they not, Brian? Were they not practicing hard as hell? Yes, they were. Yeah, and some of us have a fresh air fund because Evan wants, oh, I don't want nobody to get hurt. Oh, please, don't hurt nobody. Oh, Evan's the Merc Joy. Please don't hit him. Come on, fool. What's
you don't even listen to the shit I say.
Yes, I do. He just, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Really, man? Come on.
Well, we have another hot topic here. I mean, Miles Sanders, a guy who, you know, many in the offseason Eagle fans have been wanting to see something from Miles Sanders. I believe Miles Sanders gave us an excellent effort.
Whose prediction was that? Yeah.
Whoa. Now it's time to get on Evan's ass.
Okay, but that was my bold
prediction. We got some more of that coming? All right. Let me just place my ass real quick.
Miles Sanders, he gave a gutsy performance. I felt like in the second quarter, put together some nice runs, put his head down. I saw one play. There was an opportunity to go out of bounds. Mm-hmm. He stuck his head right in it. And then on top of that, he scores a touchdown. So a guy who didn't score a touchdown last year gets on the board. All the running backs got on the board as well. Yeah. I think that was impressive.
Very. Yeah. And I just before we drift away from the Hurts conversation, I just have to add in there.
Here we go.
It's a positive note. This dude has the best cuts on the team, man. Jalen Hurts, the way he's able to shift and cut, like it is at a high end running back's level. I mean, the way he can make people miss, and that in itself, like you pair that with this backfield, that is a lethal run game, 100%. Is that okay? Is that an okay thing to say?
It was another backhanded compliment, but okay.
It wasn't a backhanded compliment. I said he's the best cutter on the team.
Wasn't about passing though. But before Prime jumps off into your rump, I picked Miles Sanders. That was my bold prediction. But he didn't have two touchdowns, he had one. I said that he was going to run north and south and handle business. Say he's gonna have 100 yards and have two touchdowns. He had 90, he had one touchdown.
Yes, sir.
Or did he had 100 and something?
He had 96 rushing yards. 96
yeah.
rushing
and yards. he had a touchdown. He was my bold prediction of the game. And I'm just happy that it seems like he's trending in the proper direction. Prime, get his ass up.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have been any more perfect with that statement because it's the truth. Like, I had high hopes coming into the season for this dude, man. He's got a lot to prove to himself and to the fan base, to the team. And he did that. Well, he started off the season by doing that. The first game of the season, he definitely looked like the Miles Sanders that we've been waiting, you know, for a while. He finally came out. I just hope he keeps that trend going. He looked very good. He definitely left the whole Western, the West to East shit alone and was pretty much going down south the whole time. Like, he was going straight ahead, making sure that, you know, he was hitting people on the way out. And that's what I love to see. I mean, he had one good 9-yard gain that, you know, I mean, I almost flew out of my seat about, like, just the way he hit that line. You know, my prediction was him to score the first touchdown of the season. I was almost there. Jalen ended up getting it. But, hey. That's cool. That's regardless. At the end of the day, it just felt good seeing our running back that, you know, we're gonna go ahead and stick with, along with the other two that we have on the squad, that is gonna go ahead and do his thing. Man, I really see a lot of potential in this dude. I still see a lot left in him, and you know, on Monday he definitely showed that he's gonna go ahead and prove that this season.
Absolutely.
See, we got Jason in the comments. Shout out to Jason. What's up, brother? Glad y'all got home safely. I'm back in Minnesota. What I miss? You missed a epic Hurts argument. You missed on the road trip back. You missed prime sleeping. You missed many bathroom trips to.
There's one thing you could count on. I'm gonna check out every band. So at one point
on the trip, we were like, everyone was like, "Yeah, fuck it, just pull off on the side of the road." I was like, "Okay, this is what we're doing." We pulled off on the side of the road. There was like serial killers on the side.
He popped your cherry with that though.
I introduced Dale to it. I was like, "What? You never peed on the side of the highway? I do it once a week."
I'm in the back seat. Like, what is wrong with these two motherfuckers?
I do it on a daily basis.
Sometimes you gotta go, man.
I never pulled over on the highway. Before we get into it, I mean, I forgot to mention that we met a couple legends at the Philly Sports Trips tailgate.
And had some great food.
Yeah, really good food. Yeah. One of my favorite players, Keith Byers, man. Keith Byers, to me, was the definition of gritty and tough, and this dude would knock your head off. And then Mr. Wilbert Montgomery, this dude is a legend. Shout out to him showing up to the tailgate. Yeah, all right. And then Albert Hainsworth. didn't know I was going to see Albert Hainsworth at the tailgate, but a lot of great dudes at the Philly Sports Trip tailgate.
Yeah, Mr. BZ Reese.
Okay. I didn't see him. Oh, yeah, I missed him. I must have missed him.
He was just chilling over there. It was actually a good time. It was like they made sway to a couple of others when they're in town, so it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a good time, and they had a great location too. We ended up right underneath this awning. It was cool as hell. And little places to sit and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Who runs it? I'm okay.
Vince, it might be Vince.
Shout out to Vince too for we sat with him in the game and hooking it up with some beers, and it was a great time, man. I love sitting in a section surrounded by Eagles fans in foreign land. That's a great place to be.
I mean, Sports Trip is here, we might as well talk about the ultimate trips that are about to come up down the road. The FedEx Field trip is going to be crazy. 1,000 fans.
1,000 plus.
1,000 plus.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, 1,000 plus. Yes. I don't know if they're ready for us. I don't know if Carson is ready for us, but
say what's up to Carson. Say what's happening, man.
He played pretty well yesterday.
That was Jacksonville.
Stop it. Your nose is growing, Pinocchio.
10:40.
We're working our way to 1100. Yep.
10:40 to be exact.
Let's see how high we can get it. I want to see all green in the stands.
That'll be
now
awesome.
if we were gonna give out some game balls, defensively. I know it's gonna be tough because the defense. Because I mean, if you look at this game, I'm looking at third quarter, about 10 minutes left in the third quarter, and they're up 30. Well, 31-14.
Damn trap. Oh, sorry. 14, yeah. The game is on. They just ran that damn trap again with Swift.
You know what I mean? Like it could, you know, then there's a dropped interception. Who dropped the interception? Slay. Was that Slay?
Slay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the game could have turned in some different direction, but
yeah, could have, should have, would have.
Going through the defense, who would you give a game ball to?
James
Bradbury would get one, but Todd has mine right there. I don't want Marcus Epps' performance to get swept under the table. I think he played excellent. He had a really good pass breakup and coverage that I saw, and he also crushed the dude. That's one thing I've been saying about Marcus Epps for a while, is the dude lays the wood. And I love to have that in the safety position, the guy that can drop the hammer.
I still got to see more coverage snaps of his. I got to watch the All-22.
I thought it was a promising first game for Marcus Epps, man.
Yeah, whatever.
What about you, Hollis?
I like Marcus Epps. I just gave it to Bradbury because he had the picks.
Do you think Marcus Epps has things to improve on? Are you critical of him?
You're getting the right damn place at the right damn time. That's it. I'm more critical of defense.
You got to put Hollis in the bathroom.
Prime,
who's your game ball to?
Well, you know, I mean, since Evan went ahead and picked my dude Epps, I'm gonna also kind of swift it over to TJ Edwards. Man, he played a hell of a game as well. I mean, the dude had 5 tackles, he had 7 combined. We're talking about somebody just from last year that was just pretty much coming at the end of the year, getting it together, and then he carried that over into this first game of the season. You know, in the preseason, he was looking sharp, and here, first actual game that counts, he looked very good, man. I was glad and happy for him to see him out on the field, being with that, with the starting lineup and doing his thing. I thought he played a very decent game. I'm just going to say decent. It definitely wasn't the best out of anybody on that defense because we gave up 35 points, but it was a decent first game, you know, from him and a couple of those guys. So, you know, everybody that got mentioned definitely deserves the game ball, you know, but TJ Edwards is my guy.
You're just trying to butter him up after the Eagles autism challenge.
But that wasn't him that hurt him. That wasn't him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with I give Bradbury a game ball. I mean, talking about a game-changing play, the momentum shift. The funny thing is, like, you see the psyche of a Lions fan in some of these games because – talk about suck the wind out of the whole stadium. There is a point where you saw their faces and like, here we go again. The whole stadium flipped. So I thought that was a game changing moment where the tides shifted. So I felt like that was a great play. It's his first game as an Eagle. He comes up making a big play. Did those in practice as well. So it's translating to the field. I think offensively, game ball. Who you got?
Yeah, Evan, who you got?
The man, the myth, the legend. I'm the biggest Jalen Hurts fan on this podcast. It goes to number one for leading a victorious effort.
I believe you.
No, I'm being serious. Yeah. Like I said, I think he was a genuine game manager. He ran the ball effectively, and I mean the connection with AJ Brown is unreal, man.
Hollis, let me tell you something, man. Me and Evan are in that stadium, and the first series, the way as much as he ran, we both looked at each other and we respected that to the fullest because we were even calling it and saying, "Yo, this dude will end up winning this whole game by himself for us." And we both agreed on that. You know what I'm saying?
No, but it was you missed him slip the manager part by. This ain't no damn McDonald's. What the hell are you talking about?
He didn't like the game manager.
What do you think this is? Wendy's?
I thought he managed the game well.
He did his thing. He definitely played his ass off, you know what I mean? And you know what I mean, hats off to him. my guy, my offensive player, you know, I'm gonna go with Booby Miles, Miles Sanders, man. I think, you know, he played his ass off. He showed, you know, he still has that that elite, you know, energy in him, man. And he brought it out on Monday. He brought it out in that game. And he's I'm hoping he's gonna carry it into Monday. That's what I'm
saying. I'm gonna go with AJ Brown. Coming out and exacting his dominance. I mean, he came out doing it. He really took over, because if you look at some of the other passes to the other receivers other than Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith missed his first pass. He missed the first one, like right there on the sideline. That would have been cool for him to catch. But then you look at what he did once he started catching his passes. I don't know if you guys remember the one drive where we just like meticulously went downfield and it seemed like he hit every receiver at least one time. Yep. But it was after AJ Brown had caught a nice few passes. But it was like and a deep pass that he caught, and he big boy that DB down there. You just can't. We haven't seen that as Eagles fans or even Eagles players. We haven't seen that, and we haven't seen that in quite some time. We haven't seen it since Quick and Harold Carmichael did it. And we had T.O. for a split second. But other than that, who we have? Freddie Mitchell and Ty Pinkston and Nate Brown. Oh, sorry. I don't know where I was going with that. But AJ Brown.
I think AJ Brown's performance, for that kind of performance, is a difference maker. I think that sign always open in his locker for a reason. I think Jason Kelce gave him that sign, but it's true, man. The man can beat press. You talk about guys like that have that ability in the air, in space, and muscle out DBs. That's a work of art, man. Like, some of these guys have good coverage on him, and he just muscles you out at the last minute to make some of these catches. I thought that presence really opens up a lot of things for this offense. I think while some people will scream and cry for Devontae Smith and his stats, I think this is team football. If a player is there, a dog is there, you let him eat, man. And it's not about your stats. There's some guys are about their stats, but Devontae Smith is going to have to be relied on as we get through the season. I don't want to hear people. But Devontae's being left, bro. It's a team game, man. There's going to be next game. It could be Devontae Smith.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It could be Dallas Goedert. So
now the one thing I did have to say about our game manager, on one of AJ Brown's catches, there was a window really, really small. You think he managed to get in through that small window, leading down to the goal line for that first down? But is that what a game manager does? Throws it through that small that small drive through window?
Shut up, man.
I was just looks for any little thing.
Now you reaching.
I
want to talk about it.
Give it to me. Go ahead. Give it to me.
Okay. So I want to talk about an honorable mention moment in that game, player-wise. I got to give it up for someone that eased my stress, and that is Britton Covey. He didn't really do much in the punt returning game, but the one play that I want to talk about, he ended up getting bumped as he was going to receive a ball.
By Pascal.
By Pascal. And he ended up just effortlessly, like without a hitch, ends up catching it. And I looked over to Prime and I was like, if you go back and watch Rager when he was receiving punts, like, he's got his arms all the way out. Yeah. Britton Covey is a guy that has literally been hardwired by his parents. And trainers to just receive punts, and he does it like a pro, man. And I think that is going to be one of the things that is kind of on the back burner, but really is going to make a difference when it's cumulative throughout the entire year.
It definitely was satisfying just seeing him make the catches. We didn't have nothing to worry about.
I didn't have any stress with Covey back there.
Dude, do you guys know how stressful that crap is when you're on a team and you just went three and out, and they punt? And you hope none of them dumbasses jump outside, jumping at the line, and then the ball goes, and you'd be like, wait a minute, who back there? Oh, shit, really? You grab a helmet, you grab your helmet, because it's possible you could be taking your ass right back out there. But it was just like, it was a breath of fresh air, And I found after his first two catches, I was like, oh, okay. Because you can tell when somebody's back there. And like just like you said, when Brady was back there, dude, he had his hands all out here so the ball could easily drop through there. Yep. But that's a good honorable mention.
Thank you. I'm glad we found common ground there.
Yeah, there you go.
As long as we're not talking about Jalen Hurts, we're not on common ground now. I did want to give a shout out to the what's the offensive coordinator's name?
Steichen.
Give a shout out to him. It was his first game calling this year, his first real game calling this year, because last year Nick Sirianni called everything, but he called a pretty decent game.
Over halfway the season, didn't he?
No, he didn't. Nick Sirianni wanted to control it, but now he said basically he wanted to do it then, but now he can make head coaching decisions, which is what a head coach is supposed to do. You're supposed to know when you see it watching offense, you know if somebody messed up because you're an offensive minded guy. It's like, but you have to be out there watching defense too, so you can make critical calls. Like if you want to challenge a play, you kind of got to be watching the game to see if you truly want to challenge that play. So I think he did a pretty good thing too. And that, oh yeah, and the protection of the entire offense of Jalen Hurts when a little dumbass dude came up and hit him real late. I don't know what I heard the booing going on in the audience when they called it. Was that you guys booing the dude who did it? Because if it was the Lions booing, they need their ass whooped because he was sliding. He had slid 3 yards before dude lowered his head and hit him like he was charging him.
It was definitely the Detroit Lions booing the call because you know they didn't feel that it was a helmet to helmet. We clearly saw it on the replay. That was a straight helmet to helmet. But we had like three other instances where he got hit late and they didn't even pull out the flag.
And then one time Prime, if you spent, like I got to see it because I was able to rewind it. Little dumbass linebacker and him talking about he was running the RPO. This ain't college, fool. Yeah, if you touch the NFL quarterback, you're getting 15 yards. Yeah. In college, they can knock the crap out of him. This ain't college. If you hit him and he clearly ain't got the ball, you're gonna get that ass kicked.
Shout out to the McCabes in the comments.
Cool.
We out of a tailgate. They made me think of a tailgate. We have a tailgate at the home game on Monday Night Football. It's going to be our first home game.
Clubbed I think up.
It's Club John will be in full effect. Shout out to DJ.
Oh, you're going to be Club John? DJ. What's the
club, I'm club, name club John? Club John will be
no cover
ridiculous.
Charge.
And it'll be a good time. There'll be cheesesteaks.
Yes, there will.
Evan will be on the grill. There will be lots of Bud Light. There will be lots of libations. Conchi's tomato pies. We have to figure out what kind of what we want on the tomato pie. Let's think about that.
Yeah,
it's big. The stuff. It's real big stuff.
That's an all-fair conversation. We want to surprise the people on Monday.
You know.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I mean, look, I'm looking forward to that. I just got a message from a certain person from England. It's his first time ever tailgating.
Oh, cool.
He's in Philadelphia for the first time, and he's coming to tailgate with us. And other people have sent him our way, so that
Blimey!
tells you something.
Was that before or after the funeral today? Too soon.
Well, I will be. You know where I'll be at.
Partying up with Philly sports chips, right?
Yeah, at the gatehouse in the Navy Yard, chilling like a mug.
Just so y'all know, he said gatehouse, okay? Gatehouse,
gate, not gay. Gate. I'm a man.
Paul. I was helping you out.
I'll be at the motherfucking house. That's where I'll be at. it's gonna be interesting to see how we come out because it's gonna be a Monday night game. It's gonna be interesting to see how the Eagles come out, especially defensively. I think that he should be brought to the principal's office before we play the Vikings. I'm sorry. Because if you roll that out there, they will score 50 on us.
Any fears about the Eagles playing in primetime?
No. You know who should have the fear? The Vikings should have the fear. Yeah, because Kirk Cousins is like one forever in primetime games. Mm-hmm. He sucks playing primetime games.
Yes, sir.
But we can't hang our hat on that. He may just have a good game.
Big Fish Little Bo asks, are we going to AC? Yes, we're going to AC. Check out Philly Sports Trips. Oh, you should come to all the games, if I'm being honest. Yeah, if I'm being honest.
As many as your bank account will allow.
I felt like it was a great, you know, I obviously the first game of the season, you get jitters on the road. You're like, all right, this is the first trip. This is how it's going.
It's cool to start the game of the year on the road like that too.
So, I mean, it's coming home for Jerome time. I think the energy is going to be live in full effect. I think, I think Eagle fans should be excited about what's about to happen. You know, because of this whole place of fear thing, you know, the Vikings aren't the Lions. They're better. Like, this whole place of fear thing, I'm like, we have a good football team. It's about an opportunity to get these guys right. You know, that could be their first preseason game. I think we're going to be seeing some different things, you know.
For sure.
I think what we're going to see as far as me thinking about the defense, I think defensively we're going to see a lot of traps, and we can stop them unless he does something to get up and run. They're going to start running traps, and then when we start lining up everybody, they're going to do things to get us out of our element. And that vanilla crap is only works on ice cream. That's it. You're supposed to have organized chaos. And when you organize chaos, you're supposed to be a bit of a dictator. You're not supposed to take Dick Cheney. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? Right now, we get our ass whooped on a weekly basis defensively because we're bending but don't break. When you play against a good team, you will get your ass handed to you. You actually, if you look at our game that we just played, our offense was moving the ball and moving the ball well.
Yep.
We did, in the midst of all that, we did get three straight three and outs. But then we turn around and start just giving up 8 and 10 play drives back to back to back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Even though our offense was getting long drives themselves, why couldn't we get the ball back to them to keep them going? I don't like it.
Well, speaking of ice cream, you said talk about ice cream. My favorite is ice cream cake on my birthday. It is Moira's birthday. Happy birthday to Moira.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Moira.
Well, or happy
you're
early. Double.
You're going to get a dub on
tomorrow.
Your birthday.
It's tomorrow.
You're going to get a dub by the Eagles. Now, Todd says, do we bring in JPP in a few weeks?
Jason Pierre-Paul?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they saying that? Right. Are they saying that based off of the signing that we had today?
Well, I think we're getting some intel off that signing.
That's kind of what we're definitely getting some intel.
But he's a young guy too, and he's about 6'5", 258. I don't know, but he was on IR too, so he don't know too much. That's a new coaching staff, so.
It's true.
And Mike Zimmerman was there last year, so. This is a whole new coaching staff, so I don't know how much intel he's going to be able to give. It's kind of like one of those. He was on their practice squad as well, so I mean, they're right. Probably going to try to pick his brain for it. But I think that bringing JPP in, once you see if anybody's going to step up to the plate and give us some more edge pressure, and if they're going to utilize Hassan Rick properly, it's like they kept on putting him out there and just having a run up field.
Yep.
Run up field.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure out. I did see him blitz from the middle linebacker position. That was interesting. I did see a little Tay-Tay, a.k.a. Avante Maddox, come in for blitz. That was kind of nice.
Yeah,
I think,
and actually, that was one of the ones that worked.
Uh-huh. They got to continue to do that kind of thing. And I think unleashing Jordan Davis is going to be also a thing that I would like to see.
I would also like to see them run some line stunts. If you're only going to have 6 guys or 7 guys in the box, line stunts cut up the run. If you're going to just have the guys running upfield, it creates what we saw, large creases and caverns. And running backs like Swift, they swiftly get through them and put our secondary on notice. So we weren't tackling good enough. All game long, we missed the tackles here and there and everywhere. So it was, and everybody is true. It is the first game. But you don't let this pass and just try to brush it under the rug like it didn't happen. You know the stuff you got to get better at. And while I'll be in jubilation about the victory, I still will be slightly concerned, mainly because of the guy who's running our defense. It's not because of the, not because of the personnel any longer. It's because of the guy who's managing the personnel.
Are you are you ready to pull the trigger on him now?
Damn right. Man. He showed me exactly what he showed me last year.
Yep. Nah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you
on that, man. I feel like, you know what I mean, it's time. Like, it doesn't get any more perfect than this. I mean, it's either, yeah, you definitely got to get called into the principal's office before the next game, or, you know what I mean, the mindset on the defense and on his mind is, you know what I mean, getting this shit right before Monday night. Because if not, like you said, man, those guys could easily come in here and score 50 on us.
The way that I – go ahead.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to see that. I'm not trying to be in the stands seeing a 50-pointer get put on us.
I think the way that I look at it is, like, why waste time? Like, we see what the issue is right now. It's glaring.
Right.
And there has been no improvement. Like, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there has been – it's an exact reflection of what he did last year. There's been no improvement. And while we have Vic Fangio just waiting around the building – Let's quit being cute and just do what we're supposed to do.
I mean, they're not going to do it after the first game of the season. I mean, if it continues in the week four.
He did it all last season. He hasn't changed anything. I was like, the fact that you don't know that if you have a 7-man front, they're going to run the ball up your ass. When they come to the when the quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage and he's looking around and he sees you have 7, he's got 2 calls. A run and a pass. If you have 8 in the box or the safety's down in the box, he's going to run a pass. If you have 6 or 7 in the box, he's going to run that ball up your ass. And if you as a defensive coordinator don't realize that and cut up the run every time you have a 7-man front, because running upfield or just protecting your gap is not going to work because there are more gaps than the players you have down there, then you do not need to be the defense coordinator. You do not need, and if you're not going to send anybody or run any defensive line stunts or any run stunts to help you generate pressure because guys are reading and not and are not reacting, this should be second nature. If you see, how fast the Detroit Lions defense is moving. I would have loved some of that with us. You just think if those are our players, we would have got nothing going. It's like, but we continue to play like we're scared. It's like he plays like we're playing, and I guarantee you those guys are getting pissed. I'm waiting on somebody to say I'm here to get sacks. I'm waiting.
Hey, want to give a shout out to Big Fish Little Boat. He said he wants to go on the AZ trip. If you want to sit with us, let Philly Sports Trips, they'll let you know and put us next to us out in AZ. So give them a shout out. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, everyone's a little fired up right now about it.
Well, no, but it's not about.
I get it, but we
watched the same crap all.
Yeah, I get it.
Last
I get it.
Year, we watched a rookie last year go 12-13 for 2 touchdowns in the first half when we played the Jets. We just got torched at Cardone by Jared Goff.
When you told me that Fangio was in the building. That was the moment of enlightenment, the moment I felt amazing, because I know there is a plan in place.
Darius making the call.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like, so that's why I'm not freaking out, because I know there's a potential backup plan. So I think, you know.
I understand what you're saying. It's like, there's, you know, like, but I just don't
I've
want
been
to
excited
wait.
Ever I, since I just, you mentioned it. Now know, everyone's I, talking about
it. I know, but I just don't want us to wait too long. I don't want us to wait till he comes out and calls a game where he's pussyfooting around and we get our ass handed to us because we're not being aggressive enough and we're not forcing the issue. We should be forcing the issue. We have talent on each and every level now. We should be forcing the issue. We should dictate to them what they can do, what they can and can't do. We are basically catching now. We just catching. That's all we're doing. And just running around like we don't know what the hell, like we don't know how to play defense. That's not the way things roll on the football field. I know a lot of the guys that are out there are going to get pissed, and sooner or later somebody's going to say something, because some of the guys are on 1-year contracts, and when you're on a 1-year contract, you want to run free and make plays so you can get another contract. So I say Coach Fangio right now. That's Vic Fangio, former head coach of Denver, who had a top-ranked defense last year. And he was a top defense coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers when they had that vaunted defense under the other Harbaugh. I could go all day, baby. He's a cool guy.
We should get Hollis a Coach Fangio t-shirt.
Yeah, put me in Coach Fangio because
I know it's 4XL.
It pissed me off.
4XL.
Yeah.
I love Fangio.
Yeah.
That would be a nice t-shirt.
Yes, it is. It is a quality. It is a quality play on words as well.
Yeah, man. We've hit the hour mark. We didn't talk about food, but we talked about other things. You know.
Yeah.
So we talked about pizza earlier.
We talked about pizza.
You want to talk about this?
Can I talk about what? Cowboys.
It's depressing. It's depressing on that side. My brother still has hopes because now he's smoking that Skip Bayless juice. All right, Rush is that guy. Okay.
Oh my God, is that where he's at right now? Rush is that guy. They are such a delusional fan base, man.
That's where he's at right now. He's on the Rush.
You serious about that, fam?
He's on the Rush.
I'm gonna see you.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Guys, something where this one dude who's a Cowboys fan, he's like nobody's hating on the Cowboys. He said we win one or two games every year, we talk about we going to the Super Bowl and then we get there. We suck. That's
how it's just facts. I'm sitting after it's this not that we're hating on them. It's just facts. Exactly. You yeah, guys,
and that's
suck.
What he said.
And they've been an injury away, man.
Hey, yeah, man. No excuses.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know
I said
what
that before
saying.
they got hurt.
Cowboys,
I was like,
for those Cowboys,
and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, for those Cowboys fans tuning in, there's no excuses because we've been through it too, and we didn't have no excuses. We didn't have no excuses.
But Prime, are we the organization that let go of Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson and just and Randy Gregory and didn't do a damn thing to replace any of those guys?
Nope.
The organization that drafted that we once drafted Danny Watkins in the second round. They would have drafted the kid out of Tulsa that either he was from Tulsa or South Tulsa. But I know he led NCAA in holding calls in college. What the hell do you think he's going to do in the NFL? And then you go to camp. You're on TV more than the law allows for a team that gets his ass kicked on the university.
Hollis. It's not our problem. That's the best
part. Okay. I digress. Keep his apology.
It's their problem.
Big loss for the Cowboys, though, in their quarterback, man. I mean, they're eyeing 8 to 10 week return on Dak Prescott, dude. That's a shot season, right?
I felt sorry for the man after week one.
We're talking about like, and this is me talking shit as an Eagles fan because I don't think Cooper Rush is at all the guy. I think that it's pretty much down the tubes for them. And for Cowboys fans, as much as they love talking trash, for all of their hopes and dreams to be washed down the toilet after week one, God, it's glorious.
His name should be Cooper Hush.
Bro, even when Dak was in that game, They look like
ass. They look horrible.
Look like shit. Diggs got his ass handed to him by Mike Evans.
Dak looked like shit.
Yeah, stop, man. And he got handed to him by Julio Jones.
That's true.
Yep. It seemed like I was watching the game. It seemed like they was like, okay, number seven. Oh, he's on you now. Let's go after him. but it's like you. Everybody thinks that we're hating on them. We just get tired of you guys acting like y'all privileged, like you've earned something. You haven't earned the right to do anything. It's like until you win, you should shut the hell up. And then when you win a couple of games, don't come out like you're gonna win. Wait till you actually win a few more playoff games. Don't come out like, and then talk about we them boys. What boys is that?
We them boys. We them boys. There's a nice little photo of this is Jalen Hurts leaving the Detroit Lions Stadium with a dub. See that? I forgot to share that. I made it during the game, and then I got so frantically nervous. So I was like, I shouldn't be making memes right now. We were up 31-14. I made the meme.
Yeah, I saw you making this meme.
I put it away.
Y'all was wrong. Y'all supposed to pay attention to the game until the middle of the fourth quarter. Y'all the ones that don't have Santa Slay going because y'all stopped singing.
No, see, I'm a professional meme maker, so you got to be ready. You got to be ready, okay? I've been working all off season on these memes, okay? last word. Obviously, it's a. We're going to talk about the Vikings Eagles preview, but this is the last word about the Lions Eagles.
The last word about the. I'm gonna give you my last word about the Lions Eagles. I felt like we came out and we kicked a little ass and took some names, but then defensively, I felt like we could have forced the issue more on the quarterback. Hopefully we continue to get better at pressuring the quarterback, because one sack is not going to get it when you go against really good quarterbacks. I feel like offensively we still know our identity, and I feel like our quarterback took some steps in the proper direction of silencing some of the backhanded compliments that people give Evan. But other than that, things are looking pretty good, and it's a great way to stay in shape.
Primo.
All right. I got a few things to hit up on. One, I want to give a shout out to Hollis. Appreciate you taking us to Checkers Bar. That was a hell of a place. Pizza was great. Definitely want to give a shout out to Detroit. The hospitality you guys showed us when we were there, from the time we touched down to the time we left. For the people that we ended up meeting, for the few days that we were there, and for the people that were asking us to leave their city, I appreciate you guys just as well. You know what I mean? We got to see a live action police chase that Evan caught on the clips of his eyes, so that was pretty cool. You know what I mean? Thought we were about to get a scene of first 48.
I think you were y'all were a little concerned. You're like, Gail, Gail, Gail. I was like, yo, I'm trying to see this.
I don't know. I just woke up. I woke up out of the seat like, oh, something's going down.
Yo, and then Evan's like, step on it, man, step on it. I was like, bro, you trying to see a crash right now?
Yeah. Shout out to Vince, the Philly rest of the 40, Philly Sports Trips crew. We definitely put it down. It was a great tailgate. Great showing of the fans. Everybody that I spoke to had a great time. They couldn't thank us enough for the tailgate that we put together. And then most of all, Monday is right around the corner. Our first Club John of the year. I'm excited to find out if we're going to bring out the blacks on that Monday night. I don't know. I'm waiting for them to go ahead and make that announcement, because I know we've been looking forward to seeing the black helmets come out. But hey, like I said, Monday's right around the corner. Yeah, Monday.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be a prime time though, right?
Oh yeah.
Because that's
last time.
Okay. Hey,
yeah.
Y'all see them sparks, right? Somebody
look like Hollis' son.
Fire. whoa.
Yeah. So, anyway, with that being said, appreciate you guys tuning in. You know what I mean? None of this is possible without y'all. Have a safe week. Let's go. Monday's here. Let's get this thing. Let's get that second W.
As for me, man, this Eagles team, this offense is a team that can have its way with any defense in the league. That's what I saw. Let's stop wasting time. Cut all the fat. Howie did a phenomenal job of it this offseason, building up an entirely new roster. The last glaring piece right now is the defensive coordinator. I know it's early to be calling for a new one, but, man, the sky is the limit if we just fix that issue. I really believe that.
I was reading the bottom line because I didn't jump in Isaiah Palomalu's rump because he got pushed back and they thought he so bad they thought he was Big Pudding.
But other than that, other than cutting the fat and feeling hopeful for the rest of the year, I just want to say thank you. I mean, like, episode 300, we started this 6 years ago, man. I was in college. I was just, you know, we were very small back then. And to think back then that we would be sitting here with, you know, an Eagles legend and Hollis Thomas doing a show regularly, to get to 300 episodes, to be traveling all over the country. It's a blessing, man. And I thank everybody that is a part of this, everyone that supports us. And go Birds. Can't wait to see you guys at the first tailgate of the year.
Following off Evan, definitely it's just been a good ride, good vibes. Always, it's always about connecting with people and people in the community. We appreciate your support. You figure that out. Who your fan? People who love the show when you go on the road, and people that you've never even talked to, never even seen before, come up to you and let you know that they love the show and love the vibe. So, I mean, appreciate you guys, and you're the reason why we get out here and do it. Shout out to my brother. But all the people who've supported us, even family members out here, just trying to let us live our passion. So talking about passion, these Eagle fans and these Eagle players this week are going to bring it. I'm telling you, for you Eagle fans who have never been to a stadium on opening night, this is the time to do it. Come out to Club John. Come out, have a good time, break some bread, bring the vibes, man. We're trying to go 2-0 because we will be going 2-0.
Damn, Skippy.
And on that
bring some energy, bring it to me.
And on that note, man, fly, Eagles, fly, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Go Birds.